We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to WWL. This is Deuce McAllister filling in for Christian Garrett here with you. Give us a call on the whodatlending.com and talk and text line 504-260-1870 or shoot us a text. And, you know, at 520 here in a little bit, I'll have the voice of the Saints, Zach Streif, coming up with me. We'll talk a little bit about the Saints this past week, the NFL in general, our unusual Wednesday game that we had yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Steelers losing a key player, more than likely, Bud Dupree. They thought that he tore his ACL, and really, I don't want to call it garbage time, but I think in a sense that's what it was. He ended up hurting his knee there, and he had been playing really, really well as one of those bookends, defensive ends for the Steelers. So we'll see exactly how that alters some of the things that they have been doing, and I'll get Zach's opinion on that. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll have Latavius Murray from 6 to 7 o'clock on the player show. And we will talk about his UCF nights as well as his time here in New Orleans this season, how it's gone so far for him, and just being able to adjust and, just find out a little bit off the field what Latavius likes to do. And so we'll have that coming up with us from the 6 to 7 o'clock hour. Right now we're going to go to the phone line and talk to James. James, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show. Hello? James, are you there? Maybe he'll call back. I think he's not available right now. But, Mark, I got a question for you. Did you see that, I guess, Coastal Carolina was scheduled to play Liberty, and there was some scuttle or talk last night that game was not going to be played, and today, this morning, it was announced that, you know, they're canceling the Coastal Carolina Liberty game, and I guess their BYU had put out some fillers for themselves to say, hey, look, you know, if you guys can't play, we want to be able to play. And, you know, that's not the first time that has happened across college football, two teams being able to play. But what was interesting, the reason I bring it up is BYU had an opportunity to play Washington a couple weeks back, and they declined it because they didn't want to hurt their, let's call it, rankings via the playoffs. And so when they found out that they were not highly thought of, they see that they had to up the opponents that they were playing, and they decided to play a pretty good Coastal Carolina team. Give me your thoughts on that, you know, something that just happened really today, and how, you know, normally it takes years and years, unless it's a kickoff classic, for teams, college teams, to be able to play, and this really happened within 10 to 15 hours, so to speak.
What's funny is, you know, they're seeing us ducking Washington, who's ranked 22nd. Now they're going to go play Coastal Carolina, who's 18th. You're playing a team that's currently seeing as being a little tougher. So, I mean, I guess kudos to them for stepping up to the plate and realizing that they need to do a little work. But, you know, the fact that they kind of have their arm twisted by their ranking makes it not quite as commendable. But look, in the end, we're getting a good football game out of it. So, you can't protest too much if it means we're going to get to see two good teams square off in a matchup that I think people want to see. You know, Coastal Carolina is really making a name for themselves as one of the, you know, the group of five powerhouses in the Sun Belt. And, you know, they're going to probably I don't know if it's a totally done deal that they've locked up their spot, but I think it's going to be end up being them and Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, in the Sun Belt Conference Championship, because Louisiana's locked up their spot already. And we've seen them play once already this season. That was a great game, and so we might get to see that one again. But Coastal Carolina's making a name for themselves in the NCAA. Remember, they won the College World Series a few years ago. So they're a
don't
team.
Don't bring up bad stuff, Mark. Don't bring up bad stuff.
They're a team on the rise, and so you know this is going to help them raise their profile, because BYU is a known commodity, and they're having a good season. They're 9-0. I think this is going to be a win-win for everybody who likes college football, because you get another good game to watch.
Yeah, and I think BYU has a NFL prospect as far as the quarterback is concerned, and so for him to be able to show that he is, you know, maybe of the elite talent, I think that's a pretty good situation. And then you talk about Louisiana, the Cajuns, as well as Coastal Carolina, those two coaches, I'll just put it this way, they're ones to watch, because I don't know what's going to happen with that South Carolina gig over there. We know they let Muschamp go, but there's a lot of chatter about both of those guys really having some opportunities over there at South Carolina. But, you know, I think both of those guys, you know, and not to say that they're going to leave the institutions that they're at, but, you know, it's going to be some pretty interesting teams that will come calling. And, you know, I know they've turned down some opportunities in the past, but, you know, just the work that they have done the last couple of years, I think teams are, you know, some of the bigger schools with a deeper pocketbook are starting to notice it in a sense. And then, you know I have to go to break, but I got to send a shout out to my buddy, Coach Will Hall, who is taking over over at Southern Miss, you know. And so he was a guy that I know the Eagle fans had their eye on for a while. And, you know, he was kind of playing it cool, just trying to see how the Tulane Green Wave and that situation with them as far as them going out and winning. I know they have the Memphis Tigers this upcoming weekend. And, you know, Coach Hall is going to coach in that game. And I think Coach Fritz has already identified his OC that will be taking over. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they were roommates. I think he and Will were roommates back in college. So, you know, two pretty good situations for both of those guys. I think that's Coach Lindsey. I think that's Matt Lindsey, who was an analyst up in Tennessee, who will be taking over the offensive coordinator role for the Tulane Green Wave. So Coach Fritz making moves, Will Hall making moves, picking up a head coaching job, and then obviously that Coastal Carolina BYU game unfolding for us. So,
well, and Deuce, you know, let me jump in here for just a second, because I think you will agree that, you know, whatever coaching scenarios open up for Billy Napier in the future, that's next year. And this year, he's got the Cajuns rolling, and the first ever appearance for the Cajuns in the top 25, you know, college football playoff rankings, the official rankings, their first appearance. I think we got to give a hats off to the work he's done over there.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, no doubt about it. In a program that has been through some stuff, you know, being able to lose Coach Looney, or they lost Coach Looney earlier this year, and, you know, that was obviously something that sudden, and to be able to kind of keep it together as a team, and, you know, Coach Napier being able to guide those guys and through all of that. And like I said, you know, the job that he's done has been tremendous, and to be able to recruit and get some of those guys and get them into position where, you know, they appear the first time ever in the NCAA rankings. What is the official name for that ranking?
The College Football Playoff rankings.
Yeah, the college, and I'm sure that they have some sponsor name with that as well, but the College Football Playoff rankings as well, you know, just to be able to appear in that for the first time is, you know, you have to salute them for that job, no doubt about it.
Well, and you know, when they made the AP poll earlier this year, I believe it was the first time since 1943.
But I know it was the first time in a long time.
I think it was 1943 was the last time that they had seen themselves ranked in that poll, and obviously they weren't called Louisiana back then. It was probably about four or five names ago for that school. Yeah. when they last got ranked. But, you know, just call them the Raging Cajuns, and they're right now they're 20th in the AP, and again this week making their first ever appearance in the official playoff ranking at number 25. So, great job being done over there in Lafayette.
No doubt about it. Connect with us on the whodatlending.com and talk and text line 504-260-1870. When we come back, I will have the voice of the New Orleans Saints, Zach Strief, with me here on WWL. Welcome back to Deuce McAllister in for Christian Garrett on WWL. Give us a call or text us here on the whodatlending.com talking text line 504-260-1870. And I have my broadcast partner, Zach Strief, on with me right now. Zach, how are you doing, young man?
Duamus, I'm doing excellent, my friend. Good to talk to you in the middle of the week. We'll call it the middle.
Yes, sir. We'll call it the middle. We'll call it the middle. I have to ask you, have you gotten? Because I know you like to do it early. Your Christmas shopping either done or have you? Where are you at in that process?
I will tell you this, Deuce. I'm not completed with my Christmas shopping. I have a little bit of work to do still. I don't know what it has been about this year, but it's just been hectic. So I'm not finished, but I'm gonna get there.
Well, if you know me, you know where I'm at in that situation. I haven't done anything.
You're ready for the 23rd to really get kicked into gear for Christmas, aren't you?
I haven't done anything.
Patiently waiting.
You know me all too well, there, young man. Zach, I got to get you before we talk about the Saints and the Atlanta Falcons this upcoming weekend. I want to get your opinion or your thoughts on the NFL really moving that game, what, three times? Because that game was slated for last Thursday, ends up being playing almost a week later on yesterday. Yeah. And just get your opinion on that, the Steelers versus the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, listen, I think I understand both sides of this kind of issue, right? I understand the league's perspective that we're not going to, you know, there's got to be a line drawn in the sand somewhere, right? Because you're not going to kind of be able to handle every single situation as its own. And the league was pretty clear early. We're not going to postpone a game for competitive advantage. They felt like they had that issue kind of, you know, constrained to one room. It's very unfortunate. It's the quarterback room, right? It's not a story necessarily at the level that it was if it's another position. You know, at the same time, you know, I think that the Broncos made a pretty good point when they said, okay, so if we had more people get sick, then you would give us a break. But since we only have one room, you're going to make us play without a quarterback. And, you know, it's kind of a tough situation, but isn't that kind of the year that we're in, right? The year of tough situations. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's a good answer. I know a lot of people didn't like the answer that they gave. If you're a Saints fan, you love the answer that they gave. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, they got to draw that line somewhere. And you know, that's kind of how they stated it. And to an extent, and this is unusual for me, I understand the league's viewpoint on it.
So you felt like that the league was being fair in a sense?
Well, I don't think it's about fair, right? I wouldn't say that it's fair to force a team to play without a quarterback. I would say that that's pretty unfair of a situation to put a team in. However, again, I think it wasn't then, and it has never been about fairness. It's been about we have to decide when this season starts how we're handling this very odd situation. And, you know, the way that they felt like they were going to handle it was by drawing a line and saying one of these things is health and safety and one of these things is competitive issues. And, you know, and actually I think they identified as well, they're also not going to make decisions based on financial questions. And so it's pretty much just, hey, is there an outbreak? Is it spread throughout the team? Do we know where it is? Have they managed it well enough? If the answer to that question is no, then they're going to postpone games. If the answer to that question is yes, we think we know where it is. We think that it's been kind of congregated in this one position. Man, that's going to be really hard to play a football game in, but we're not concerned about the health of the guys, you know, in terms of we think that we know that the virus has been contained, then they're going to make you play. So is it fair? No, I don't think it's fair. Is it a policy that I think they followed? It is.
Speaking with Zach Streeth, former New Orleans Saints and the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans here on WWL. Zach, and just to turn our attention to the Atlanta Falcons, who really throttled the Las Vegas Raiders this past weekend, you know, do you see anything different that they did that, you know, maybe outside of creating just turnovers, do you see them doing anything different against the Raiders that, you know, maybe possibly they can do against the Saints team that goes in there and plays them this weekend?
No, not schematically. You know, I think they're doing the same things they were doing in terms of, you know, how they structure their defense and the game plan and what they went in wanting to do. The execution of that was certainly considerably better in that football game. You know, Deuce, you know, I have a good friend on the staff in Las Vegas and had a chance to talk to him after the game and his statement. And it's a guy I played in the National Football League for a while. Said, I've never seen a game snowball worse. And I think both of us have been in those situations before, right? Where you almost can't get out of your own way, right? And you can't stop it. And you know that that force is there and you know that that momentum is on the wrong side and you just can never get it flipped around. And that's really how they felt that game went. You know, they got a lot of pressure on David Carr. He made a lot of mistakes with the football because of it. You know, there was two turnovers that were, you know, balls tipped or his arm disrupted in, you know, in the path of throwing one tipped ball interception. It's just, you know, it's just one of those games where you're like, man, I can't believe this is happening. You know, the Falcons had like 310 yards of offense and scored 43 points. So, you know, it was a pretty unusual game. And I don't think that necessarily it was, oh, they found, you know, the elixir to fix all of their problems that they've experienced this year defensively. Or that they suddenly were playing better offensive football, because neither one of those things was necessarily true. I think it was just the situation of the game, you know, kind of became what it was.
Yeah, and I mean, because no Julio Jones in that game, no Todd Gurley in that game, and I think both of those guys will play against us. But, you know, you look at it, they had to kick five field goals in that situation. So, you know, that tells you, hey, look, this team still isn't finishing in the red zone like they should, or at least finishing drives once they're on the plus end or plus side of the field. So I think at the end of the day, you know, it's an opponent that you're definitely still aware of just because they can present so many problems to you or for you.
Yeah, listen, the Falcons are not a bad football team. And I know, you know, every time I say this, and I'm sorry, I hope you're not looking at the text line right now, but you get barraged with people saying you are what your record says you are. And I don't understand why a coachism really ever makes sense. It's just a nice, easy thing to keep bringing up if you're a coach and you don't want guys to get complacent. But at the end of the day, that's a football team that's lost three games this year that are all – it's almost laughable how bad they had to screw up the management of the game to lose, right? And so it's not necessarily that that team's getting outplayed week in and week out. Are they a really good football team? No, they're not a really good football team. Are they more than capable of beating almost anyone in the National Football League? Yes, they are, and the Saints are included in that list. So, you know, they do some things that can get you in trouble, then get in a roll. I think that offense has really been outstanding this year. You take out the Saints game, and they've been very good offensively. You know, it doesn't mean that they don't solve problems. They still struggle against the run. The secondary has still struggled mightily this year. But, you know, when you watch the football game against the Raiders, I think it was more situational than necessarily them doing something different.
Speaking with Zachary Streeth, voice of the New Orleans Saints. Zach, I got to get you just last college football question. And I'm not going to mess with you about Northwestern because I still think that they're going to represent the Big Ten as far as the conference championship game is concerned. But I got to ask you about this LSU-Alabama matchup. And, you know, we know the spread is ugly. That's not even going to, you know, talk about that. But just what does Coach O and his guys, what do they have to do to at least keep themselves in the game?
Well, you know, listen, this is a really tough matchup for LSU, right? For a team that struggled defensively as much as they have this year and then now recently, you know, even offensively. I don't think Alabama's defense is very good. I think you may have more success offensively than you think. But when you talk about an explosive big play offense, this is the one. And I think that's going to be a big challenge for this team. So, you know, listen, you got to avoid balls going over your head, right? You got to make them earn getting the ball down the field. You got to find a way in this football game. If you're LSU, you're not as good of a football team right now. You need to create turnovers, right? You need to win that turnover margin by at least two to beat Alabama. You know, can you create something on special teams? Can you win that battle of hidden yardage? You know, there's a lot of factors in a football game, that can make a big difference. And they're going to have to win every one of them. The thing that I've always admired so much, and I appreciate you not bringing up my Wildcats, but this is a great example of, you know, what happens to some teams, you know, the question of handling success. And can you show up every week and look like your best self? And I think that Nick Saban and Alabama has done that better than almost any coach in the history of football. That group, no matter how dominant they are in a given year, no matter how good they are, seem to show up and play at a high level every single week. And that's what makes them so tough, and that's what's given them that longevity. And so, you know, they're not going to beat themselves. You're going to have to beat Alabama. And I think that it's all of those kind of hidden statistics that LSU is going to have to dominate. They're going to have to return better than Alabama. They're going to have to cover well on special teams. They got to create a couple of turnovers. And I think it's really important. They got to steal possession in this game somewhere. I wouldn't dislike an onside kick, a fake punt, something like that. What do you have to lose? You know, with where you sit right now, you got to take some chances against Alabama.
I agree 100% with you on that statement. I mean, at this point, what do you have to lose? It's an opportunity to be able to showcase and really, in a sense, salvage the season, you know, because you haven't played up to expectation. Zach, I appreciate you giving me a little bit of your time on Thursday, and I'll be talking to you tomorrow on our show, Fans and a Pro, from 4 to 7 p.m. I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon, young man.
You as well, Deuce. I just wanted to let you know, I did look at a bold prediction sheet today on CBS Sports that had Northwestern playing the Ole Miss Rebels. Just wanted to throw it out there. Man, what a weekend that would be, Deuce. We'd have to find a way to get ourselves to
we
a
going.
Bowl game. I don't know what the rules are on that, but we got to find a way.
We going. Even if we in the we had to be the managers, we going. If wherever they play, we going. We got to be the managers, we going.
I'm with you, buddy.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it, Zach. All right, thanks. This is Deuce McAllister here on WWL. Welcome back to Deuce McAllister filling in for Christian Garrett here on WWL. And coming up next hour, I do have Latavius Murray joining me on the Hood Automotive Players Show. We'll talk a little bit about, I don't want to call it a coming out party, but the big game that he had last week against the Denver Broncos and how he thinks he can continue to build on some of that success, because I think, you know, really he's played really well all year for this Saints team as far as, you know, just getting the opportunity and going out and asking and, I mean, doing and exactly what they asked you to do. So I think, you know, for him to continue to finish off this season the right way and, you know, if they do qualify for the playoffs like we all think they will, what does he think this team can do? And, you know, just the impact he can continue to have on this team. So hopefully you guys will stick around and listen to us be able to talk from 6 to 7 on the Hood Automotive Player Show. But right now I do have Keith on the line. He's over in the quarter, and I want to see what he has to say. He's calling on the Who Dat Lending .com and talk text line. Keith, how you doing, my man?
Hey, how's it going, man? Listen, first I want to say that you and Zach are doing an amazing job, man, calling on the radio. I grew up with Jim Henderson, so, you know, this is a great duo you guys have. So definitely want to let you know that first. And, I think people are overvaluing, or the national guys, I think they're overvaluing the Steelers. You know, they've beat a bunch of backups, and, you know, they've only really have played well against Cleveland and Cincinnati early in the season, and I don't think they have much of a threat, you know, in the postseason. I think it may be a one and done number one seed. I mean, just by the eye test. I mean, what do you think, dude?
I wouldn't go that far. I do think that, you know, losing Bud Dupree is going to be an issue with them. I mean, but they've always been able to plug and play some different guys at that position as far as rush is concerned. They do generate pressure, you know, whether it's front four or five guys being able to generate pressure. I think Haywood is a really good player that they have, and obviously we'll call him the younger brother, T.J. Watt, you know, just is a really good pro player. And then you look at what Minkah has been able to do. I think it's a different Steelers team, and that's one where they don't have to totally lean on that defense because offensively they're playing as well as anybody.
Yeah, well, my issue, they can't run the football. You
correct.
Know,
well, they don't run it consistently. They don't run it consistently with Connor.
They don't run it consistently with Connor. And, again, when I look at a number one seed, in the past number one seed, look at, you know, us, look at Kansas City. You know, there's something that we've had dominating performance. Kansas City makes football look easy. Pittsburgh seems like they're always in a dogfight with teams they should be mulling over. And that concerns me as a football fan. I mean, I'm a Saints fan, but – you know, just for the national guys who, you know, love a story. I don't think they're as good as their record indicates.
You know, it's always interesting when you try to break down that record, or at least when you try to break down that schedule early in the season. You know, say, well, this game is going to be tough. This was going to be tough. You know, you never know how injuries factor into it, and then, you know, maybe a coach getting let go. You've already had a couple of those situations that have happened. You know, normally defense travels as well as running the football, normally always travels with the team. And so it'll be interesting, I mean, because you know, we both know that once playoff time comes, late December, January, that weather will definitely start to change. And, you know, I think that they obviously have Baltimore's number, and I do think that they play the Colts as well as Cleveland are maybe the only two teams that have a winning record that they play the rest of their games. It's going to be interesting to see just how they match up and, you know, do they get some of those healthy guys back as well, because I know they got a couple guys that are banged up also.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for taking my call, man. I appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Thank you for calling. And that was Keith on the WhoDatLending.com talking text line. You can give us a call yourself, 504-260-1870. Or text me on that line. Mark, I want to ask you a question as far as when we look at the NFC picture and just about, you know, hey, look, we kind of know where the Saints sit, but really want to go out to the NFC West and talk about those. I don't want to call it three teams. We'll include it four, but one of those teams, you know, just because of the head-to-head matchups, they're going to get left out of the party. I do think that they will get, for sure, two teams into the playoffs and maybe even three. How do you see that NFC West shaking out? You know, you talk about Seattle, and I thought that they had a really good game Sunday night, and then you look at what San Francisco has been able to do, and they're getting some of those healthy guys back. I still don't think their quarterback is back this week. It'll be interesting to see when they do activate Kittle, you know, where they are with him. But, you know, and then you look at what the Rams are able to do. You know, didn't play well this past week as far as the quarterback is concerned. And then Kyler Murray, who's been banged up a little bit, you know, and they were the talk of the league a little bit early on. Just get your take on, you know, how you see the NFC West shaking.
Well, first, when we look at the most important position on the field, which would be the quarterback, you think Seattle has a bit of an edge there because Russell Wilson, I think, is the best quarterback in the NFC West. He's ahead of Jared Goff, and obviously Kyler Murray is only in the second year of his career, and San Francisco is working with backups. So Seattle's got the edge there. But Seattle's defense is very suspect, and that's where the Rams really have the advantage is their defense is lights out, you know, particularly because of Aaron Donald and the pressure that they're able to put on opposing quarterbacks. The thing with the Rams is that it seems like every time they're in a divisional matchup, they seem to come up a little small. You know, they're not really rising to the occasion in the matchups within their own division. They're you know, world beaters against everybody else, but it seems like the teams in their division, they're having a little bit of trouble. So that could be the one hindrance to them winning that division. And if they win the division, I think that, you know, they could potentially make a deep playoff run. They're a team that could give the Saints a little bit of trouble just because of what they can bring pressure-wise from that defensive line. If the Rams don't win the division, then I think it's you got to figure it's going to be the Seahawks. Russell Wilson's had a good year, but they're also having to win a lot of shootouts. And you know as well as I do, playing shootouts every week, it's going to be 50-50. And that's going to be, you know, maybe their downfall is if they win the division, but then they, you know, that defense is not going to travel well in the playoffs, and I don't see them making a big deep playoff run. I think the Rams, on the other hand, if they don't get the division championship and they got to go through the wild card round, they're susceptible to getting knocked off by somebody. And so I think both of those teams, though, will be in. I think the wild card right now, you know, for lack of a better term, is Arizona. We've seen them play really well sometimes this year, and we've seen them also take a couple of losses that, you know, maybe that, you know, a little bit more seasoned quarterback would have had them in. But he's also – Kyler Murray's won some games for him as well. Look at that Hail Mary to DeAndre Hopkins. That was – you know, he had a big hand in making that play happen because he had to avoid the rush before he let that ball go. So it wasn't all DeAndre. Kyler put his stamp on that play as well. And they've got a really good shot at making the playoffs right now. They're, you know, they're a game ahead of everybody that's not in the playoffs. Right now they're the bottom wild card seed, and they're a game ahead of everybody else. So if they just keep winning, obviously that means they would get in. And you'd have three teams from the NFC West in the playoffs. The Niners are making a push right now. They're a game out under 500. And the fact that they're sitting at 5-6 after the season they've had and the injuries they've had, that speaks to Kyle Shanahan. That speaks to the fortitude of that team. This is a team that, you know, a year ago was in the Super Bowl, and I think that they're going to be around for a little bit. It's just they had a catastrophic year when it comes to the injuries. So the 49ers probably are not going to be able to push their way in this season, but I expect them to be back next year.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the 49ers, them not being able to play in Santa Clara as well, you know, they're all of the rest of their games are either on the road or them playing over in Arizona just because of the COVID and the restrictions that they have there at their home stadium. So I don't know how much that will play a factor for them, but, you know, I know over the next 5-6 weeks, that's where they will be located out in Arizona. And so,
Deuce, can I ask you something about that? Because you were on the Katrina team that didn't play any home games in New Orleans, and I know it's a different situation, and they're not dealing with, you know, catastrophe at home. But, you know, what is that like for a team that doesn't have a home? How big of a hindrance was that to you guys when you had to do that?
Well, it's normally always because of the fans, and you're always the road team, and so you never have a home field advantage. But this year with COVID, nobody really has a home field advantage because, you know, most teams outside of Dallas, you're not putting 30,000 people into a stadium. And so, you know, that's never an issue. So, you know, the biggest thing normally is the travel, that every weekend you're traveling. You know, you never get to sleep in your bed during the week. It's always I'm in the hotel or I'm at, you know, they got us maybe in an apartment or whatever for a month. And it's already, just because of COVID, how everything is shut down. Normally when you went out, it was always the players. And so it felt so much like college just because you're in a new city. It's not your home city. I don't really know a lot of people here. Not to say that the San Antonio didn't want us. I thought they loved us. I thought they wanted us. But anytime that we went anywhere, it was always 10 to 12 guys. And normally that's not the case when you're at your home city. And so it's tough, but it's not impossible, particularly in a situation that they're stepping into because it's only maybe 5 or 6 games. If it was the full 16 games, yeah, man, that wears on you. You know, and that's really tough to do, knowing that you won't have a home stadium to be able to call your home and play in. But, you know, 5 or 6 games, you can kind of ride that wave and pull it off, particularly if you're winning. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. This is Deuce McAllister here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.